Well, I want to tell you that, again, I met Reverend Daniel pretty early on when he would come to our East Row meetings. And I told him that I was a Presbyterian lay pastor. It was a two-year program back there in Illinois. And I know that a man like Daniel is always looking for depth in the bench team. And he thought, well, you live just around the corner. Is that right? I said, yes, I do. And I said, what lay pastors do in central Illinois is we go to a lot of very small churches. And where the pastor may have fallen ill, well, for whatever reason. In Illinois, there could be snow and ice that could keep a pastor from coming to church, and I was usually able to get there. So I've been in congregational pulpits, which I think you have some lineal collateral relationship with, but you and I are in the Reformed tradition. So I was honored to be asked to be here today. And it is an honor to be asked to come into this very important pulpit in the East Row. And so I thank you for this opportunity. And it has, as I was telling the children, it's been nearly 4 weeks since Christmas, and this is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. And certainly one thing Presbyterians do, we love the lectionary. Oh, we love the lectionary. And then I looked at what the lectionary was, and Daniel said, you didn't have to use the lectionary. You don't have to use the lectionary, John, because it was about topics that I thought were above my pay grade. But this, this is for a Sunday school teacher with a long resume. And I have that, so I thank you for this. And when young, 4 weeks from Christmas is a long time. And when not so young, I see some not so young folks here today, it's semi-recent history. With young, the emphasis is on the giving. What am I getting? What's my grandpa? What are my folks? Maybe an older sister. What am I getting? And to a lesser extent, it's when you're young, is what my gift's going to be. Now, when you're old, the equation changes. You want to give a gift that's appropriate. You like to give a gift that's appreciated. And appropriate and appreciated, that's an imperfect calculation, as we all know. And my dad's going to be 95, and he's pretty hale and hearty. And let me tell you, we have struggled all of our lives, his children, to get my dad, who basically wants another wrench for Christmas. So it's been tough. And so I take you into that. My sermon was entitled, Is a Thank You Note Required? And it's about that scripture that you just heard. And if I can go to the very end of my sermon, you all in your work, me and my work, we are the thank you note for the gifts. But I digressed a little bit. There can be a disappointment on both sides of the gift-giving equation, can't there? Sometimes expressed verbally, sometimes just internally you don't share, you know, or sometimes, you know, just there's a reaction. Now, my wife, Elizabeth, she's allowed me. Discussing this topic, she brought forth a memory from 1959, La Crosse, Wisconsin, and a little girl who went to Blessed Sacrament School, and the Franciscan Sisters of the Perpetual Adoration were her teachers, and so it was a more controlled life than I knew of. Anyway, so her maternal grandfather's sister, who was a lady who worked at the best department store in La Crosse, Dorflinger's, gave Elizabeth, who's 9, a beautifully wrapped, as a person who worked at a department store in 59 could do, slip. A slip. So what Elizabeth was expecting is a Winchester saddle gun from the Mattel company. This was her Gunsmoke era. And I also, from the child of the 50s, oh, that was big. And Elizabeth, despite being well-reared and despite being a good parochial school child who got good grades, she involuntarily reacted by tossing the gift and the gift box back at her aunt. And she knew she had made a mistake. And her father and mother were not pleased because this was not the little girl they knew. And Aunt Marge wasn't pleased either. But sometimes the appropriateness of the gift and the desirability on the recipient isn't quite right. And our scripture is going to go to that today. Now, side note, Elizabeth said Catholic girls of that day, they only could wear skirts and dresses. They were never wearing pants, so that slip had to be used, and it was. And she said, but that was hindsight. So anyway, that vignette I used, with her permission, it's her story, to illustrate that problem with gratitude. And might be oral for the young, but in my life, oh gosh, my daughter was just amazed at this. My mother, we lived on a little farm, Warren County, Ohio, south of Lebanon, and there would be the gifts, and under the tree, it was a Christmas morning, and before you could play with them, my mother gathered her three children to the kitchen table with paper and pen and envelopes. We had to express gratitude. Oh my gosh! My friends in college, they could. I said, your mother? I said yes. That was her part of that was the deal. The Lord and His special day. You had to express gratitude. Now my granddad was a dairy farmer in Seattle, Washington. So I loved my granddad, and he'd give you something good. He would give you that cap gun. And I had a Bible-believing Baptist aunt in Sarasota, Florida, where she had retired, leaving Covington and snow behind. She also was good. She would send candy. And so that was easy. But then there was my Sunday school teacher, Miss Ida. She was in her 80s. She would give you a handkerchief. That's a tough call for a boy. A handkerchief? Oh, that's a tough call. But my mother was equal opportunity. No, John, and to my sisters, who were, really goody-two-shoes, they indeed did that. But my mother wanted you to get in the habit of expressing gratitude, knowing the giver gave it out of love. And certainly Miss Ida gave it out of love. So no way around that. So the acknowledgement that someone has thought of us, whether Christmas time or not, there has to be at least a modicum of gratitude. The Apostle Paul, he's living in Ephesus, hundreds of miles to the east, if I got my geography straight, from Corinth. And Corinth is a troubled, troubled community. It's a new faith community. There aren't any old faith communities in the year 60. And they live in a pagan, hostile area. Whether they're like Paul, a Roman citizen and a Jew who converted, and we all know that story, or whether it's the Roman idol-worshipping neighbors who are, the governors and just your next-door neighbors, it's a hostile area, and there are no non-hostile Christian communities. Now, Paul's gift is to found communities, mentor communities, write letters to communities he did not found and start. And so that's his job, and he's hearing bad things. Bad things, because instead of being united little group, and I don't know how big the group is, say it's 20, maybe it's 30, who knows. They're meeting in people's homes, and probably the neighbors say, oh, it's those people. But they got to be strong, because they live in an area that they do not have the blessing of the governor. They have men and women in Rome who are paying a high price for being believers, a price that you and I don't pay, but they were paying. And they were dividing up over gifts. Gifts. Because scholars teach us, and this actually occurs elsewhere in the Bible, that they believed in that community that the ability to speak in tongues was right up here. Because it's mentioned several times, right up here. And those who had lesser gifts were expected to pay attention, because obviously the Lord was speaking to that person, probably a man, I don't know, but probably, because their tradition was spiritual. Every place throughout Corinth, there were probably temples, and those temples had paid priests, And those priests, you'd give your offering, and this could be true for Hebrews, I don't want to go there, but anyway, you would offer to, I'm going to plant a crop, so I go to the temple where the goddess of the harvest is, and I say, could you tell me, is this good, or is the goddess help happy, or I'm going to war, I'm going to sea, all these gods. So they were used to gods, and they were used to priests who heard God and who would tell you. I don't know, I think there was a gift involved in getting to know this information. So it was bad. So they were used to that. And there was an important event that had already happened, and that was Pentecost. And at Pentecost, God, the Son, in going to heaven, has sent back to earth, and here with us in this chapel today, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was to be the cohesion. It was to be the spiritual guide. Because you've already heard the creed, the earliest creed. It's the only creed that we really have. And that was from verse, maybe it was verse 6, but anyway, it was Jesus is Lord. There's nothing else. That is our creed. That is what he wrote to you. Jesus is Lord. The rest of you are just tools carrying out the mission. If we don't hang together, it's going to be bad news because it's hostile out there. So, therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God, a lot of people speaking, but not by the Spirit of God, ever says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And that's all of us here today. Jesus is Lord. We don't need any interpreters. We just need to turn to God in prayer. So Jesus is Lord. So converted pagans and all, they need to know that speaking in tongues is not the gift. It is a gift. And he goes on, and you heard them already, the different gifts he gives, those are just random. Those are not an exhaustive list. And all gifts, and all of us have gifts. Now, they're not the same gift. Reverend Daniel could go down and make the coffee. Reverend Daniel could have greeted you at the door. Reverend Daniel could do this. But basically, we have different gifts to make St. John's a powerful community for the last 160, 70 years and to go forward. So it takes a lot of people. And that's what those people in Corinth didn't understand, that all of them have to hang together, because the strength of that early Christian community was that they all had to keep on task. And they had to pull together. And that's our challenge for our churches today. Pull together. Now, I understand you're having planning meetings about the future. If those planning meetings for the last 160 years didn't go on, you might not be here today. My own Newport Presbyterian Church, before I came, it's gone out of business, because that's important to hang together, listen, and work together. And that's what Paul's talking about. So the emphasis is on the giver. Four times in the scripture you heard today, the Holy Spirit is mentioned, is referenced. Christ is mentioned once, God the Creator is mentioned once, and the Holy Spirit. Every gift you have comes through the Holy Spirit. Every gift. You didn't make up any yourself. And if you're able to do certain things on behalf of Lord Jesus, Lord, it's because of that. So there are no lesser gifts. And we are not going to survive. So that was first century Corinth. And they needed to use those common skills. Those gifts are not to be hoarded and stored away. And that's true for today, and that's what I'm hearing today. That's what I saw today with the children. You're not hoarding your gifts here. You're sharing them. You're using them. That's how you stay vital in the Holy Spirit. And Reverend Daniel has been fulfilling and improving and refining his gifts of preaching the word. And you look to him for leadership, but not to the exclusion of your own leadership, applied in different venues. You look to him to lead you in prayer and to mentor your prayer life, but not to the exclusion of your own leadership in prayer. Think back. who taught you how to pray? It's not going to be a preacher at the end of that sentence. It's going to be your mom. It's going to be your big sister. It may have even been a Sunday school teacher. So you had that responsibility to teach how to pray, to show that you pray. That morning grace that I left, my mother began before we went off the school bus. That was that. So Reverend Daniel, he has his role, but you have that role too. And to learn how to pray. So it's your work duty. So Reverend Daniel, this is what I actually do. I am in rotation at Grand Towers to lead worship with another fellow. And I have a very eclectic group. I have an ex-nun. I have a Presbyterian, now an Anglican, Episcopalian. I have a very diverse group. And Reverend Daniel, you know, when you're sick, you might like Reverend Daniel to call upon you at home or in the nursing home. But other people here have that job too. And when I go into Grand Tower, and I have the 12, 15 ladies and one guy, that I see other people. And I know I need to say, how you doing? And you do that too. When you go to visit somebody who's laid up, you ask about the other people. You look at the people in the hallway, and you've been to a nursing home. There's a lot of people in hallways. So you know who you're going to visit, but you also know, I got to have a good word for the people you meet along the way. That's evangelism. That's not just good manners that your mother taught you. That's evangelism. So Reverend Daniel kind of can inspire you, but it's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that leads you to think, I got to do something with what's in me. I got a lot, and I need to share it. And I have to share it with people I might not like to have at my dining room table, but they need help. And that's what this church does with its outreach, with things like providing food. They're giving food and nutrition and a tomorrow to people that you and I are probably not going to have to our dining room table, but they are part of God's creation, and they have gifts too. And I think some of you will know, you'll share the fact you've gone and talked to people in a hospital room that you didn't plan on seeing, and you learn true boundaries of faith. And it is a blessing. It is a blessing to be challenged to move out of my comfort zone. I was an engineering and science librarian for 40 years. Let me tell you, that's quite a move out to realize there's a lot of people out there that I need to reach out to. So some of you could have stayed in bed this morning, you know that. And some of you maybe thought of that. And you said, well, I understand Reverend Daniel's taking care of his father. His mother broke her ankle, I think. And so they'll have some guy there. But you said, no, I'm going to go. Because the first thing that I've seen in my church life is that you come here and you ask about other people. How's your spouse? How's your mother? How's your child who lost a job? How is your neighbor? How's your business? You don't lead with, oh, I have a heart. Oh, gosh, I have a cough. You lead by asking those sitting around you with how they're doing. That's evangelism. That's putting them first, and you do that instinctively. And you need to help other people learn the joy of sharing love, because that scripture tells us God is love. So whatever you do, you are the thank you note for the gifts you've been given. Now, you could be like the Robson kids growing up, you got to put it on paper, or you could call grandma. Phone system wasn't so good where we lived in 1959, but your life shows, because when you finally talk to my granddad, he would say, have you been helping your father with the chickens? Yes, I had. That's what he wanted to hear, that I was doing my job. And so too for you, whether you're 80 here or you're not so 80, is that you got a job. And you have to be showing, because that triune God, that concept that I scarcely can understand, it's all in this scripture. God, the Holy Spirit, God, the Christ risen, God, the Creator. That God gave us gifts. We got to use them. We got to thank Him, and we got to show that we have those gifts. And that remember that God does not call the equipped, but He equips the call. So don't shirk from whatever is coming. He will gift you with skills needed for the opportunities. And maybe somebody could do it better in that, but you're the one on ground zero. So this is the word of the Lord this day. Be grateful for this toolbox that you're in called St. John's, because it belongs to the Lord. And be grateful to it. So this is the word of the Lord today. So be it. Amen.